In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul II had great devotion to the saints and angels, whom he frequently invoked to help him. He says, "I have a special devotion to the guardian angel. Since I was a child, probably like all children, I repeated this prayer many times. Angel of God, you are my custodian. Enlighten me, guard me, direct me, and rule me. My guardian angel knows what I'm doing. My trust in him and in his protective presence grows in me continually. St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael are archangels that I frequently invoke in prayer." And speaking of the models to be imitated, the saints cannot be forgotten. What a great gift the saints and blessed are to a diocese. The excitement grows when it comes to people who have lived in relatively recent times. I have had the joy of initiating the canonization processes of great Christians related to the Archdiocese of Krakow. Later, as Bishop of Rome, I was able to declare the heroism of their virtues, and once the respective processes had been concluded, to inscribe them in the Register of Blessed and Saints. On his love for the Virgin Mary, he tells us, "The veneration of the Mother of God in its traditional form comes to me from the family and from the parish of Wadowice. I remember in the parish church a side chapel dedicated to our Mother of Perpetual Help, to which in the morning, before the start of classes, the students of the Institute attended. Also, at the end of classes, in the afternoon, many students would go to pray to the Virgin Mary. I was then helped by the book by St. Louis de Montfort entitled Treatise on True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin. In it, I found the answers to my doubts. Indeed, Mary brings us closer to Christ, provided that her mystery is lived in Christ. The Treatise of St. Louis de Montfort may be a bit tiresome due to its somewhat emphatic and Baroque style, but the essence of the theological truths it contains is incontestable. The author is a remarkable theologian. His Mariological thought is based on the Trinitarian mystery and on the truth of the incarnation of the Word of God. I understood then why the Church prays the Angelus three times a day. I understood how crucial the words of this prayer are. The angel of the Lord declared to Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word.' And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." These are truly decisive words. They express the central nucleus of the greatest event that has taken place in the history of mankind. At Easter, the Holy Father wanted at least to impart the Urbi et Orbi blessing. He had prepared very carefully. Before the ceremony, he had repeated the formula. Everything seemed to be going well. But then, as soon as the speech read in the square by Cardinal Sodano finished, the Pope, who was at the window, was left as if blocked. Maybe he was out of emotion, maybe because of suffering, but he failed to impart the blessing. He whispered, "I have no voice." And always in silence, he made a triple sign of the cross, greeted the crowd, and implied with his eyes that he wanted to return inside. He was very affected, saddened, and at the same time, as if exhausted by the effort that he had tried in vain to do. The people downstairs were moved. They applauded him, they called to him, but he felt the full weight of that gesture of helplessness, of pain. He looked me in the eye and said, "Thy will be done, totus tuus." At a certain moment, Sister Tobiana felt his gaze. She put her ear to his lips, and he, with a very weak, barely perceptible tone of voice, said, "Let me go with the Lord." The nun ran out of the room. She wanted to tell us, even though she wouldn't stop crying. I didn't think about it until later, but it was extraordinary that his last words were said to a woman. Around 7 o'clock, the Holy Father fell into a coma. The room was only lit by a small lit candle, which the Pope himself had blessed on February 2nd, on the Feast of Candelaria. St. Peter's Square and all the adjacent streets had been filling with people. The crowd grew larger and larger. Above all, there were more and more young people. Their cries, "John Paul, long live the Pope," reached the third floor. I'm sure he heard them too. It was impossible not to hear them. It was almost 8 o'clock when suddenly I felt within me a categorical imperative. I should celebrate Mass. And that's what I did, together with Cardinal Jaworski, Archbishop Rilko, and two Polish priests, Stajcin and Magzicki. It was the pre-festive Mass on Mercy Sunday, a solemnity much loved by the Pope. The gospel was still that of St. John. Jesus appeared in the midst of the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." In communion, I managed to give him as viaticum a few drops of the most precious blood of Jesus. It was 9:37 p.m. We had already realized that the Holy Father had stopped breathing, but only at that precise moment did we see on the monitor that his big heart, after beating a little more, had stopped. Dr. Bosanetti leaned over him and, barely looking up, murmured, "He has passed to the house of the Lord." As if responding to a decision made in unison, we began to sing the Te Deum, not the Requiem, because it was not a mourning, but the Te Deum, to give thanks to God for the gift that he had given us, the gift of the person of the Holy Father, of Karol Wojtyla. We cried. How could we not cry? They were tears of pain and at the same time of joy. It was then that the lights in the house were turned on. And it was time to say goodbye. How many people there were. How many important people came from far away. But above all, there were his people. There were the young people. There were those signs so significant and so fervent. In St. Peter's Square, there was an immense light. It was then that the light also returned to me. At the end of the homily, Pope Benedict XVI made a sign in the direction of the window and told us that surely he was there, looking at us, blessing us. I turned around too. I couldn't help myself, but I didn't have the courage to look up. In the end, when the walkers carrying the coffin reached the sacred precinct, they slowly turned it, as if to allow him one last look at his square, the final farewell to men, to the world. He died on April 2, 2005 at 9:37 p.m. from septic shock and irreversible cardiocirculatory collapse. In his will, he had written, "As the end of my earthly life approaches, I return with the memory to the beginnings, to my parents, my brother and my sister, whom I did not know because she died before my birth, to the parish of Wadowice, where I was baptized, to that much-loved city, to my contemporaries, classmates, and colleagues from school, high school, university, until the times of the occupation, when I worked as a laborer, and later to the parish of Niegowitz, to that of St. Florian in Krakow, to the pastoral care of the university students, to Krakow and Rome, to the people that the Lord has entrusted to me in a special way. I just want to say one thing to all of you. May God give you the reward." During the following days, thousands and thousands of people flocked to the Vatican to say goodbye. On April 8th, more than 2 million people gathered in Rome for the funeral. There would have been twice as many if the Italian authorities had not discouraged the pilgrims through the media, fearing an agglomeration too large to be controlled. After John Paul II was buried in the crypt of St. Peter in the Vatican, the workers of the Basilica, the San Pietrini, asked Monsignor Angelo Comastri before placing the tombstone to be able to pray, and all on their knees prayed, "Holy Father, you are the Pope of the family. We entrust to you our families, our wives, and our children." Everyone was emotional to tears. On May 1, 2011, John Paul II was beatified in Rome by Pope Benedict XVI before a crowd of 2 million faithful. The miracle approved for his beatification was that of the French nun from the Little Sisters of Maternity Congregation, Sister Marie Simon Pierre, who suffered from Parkinson's disease, the same disease that the Pope had suffered. She relates it like this: "In June 2001, I was diagnosed as suffering from Parkinson's disease. The disease had affected the entire left part of my body, creating serious difficulties for me since I am left-handed. After 3 years, there was a worsening of the symptoms, accentuation of tremors, stiffness, pain, insomnia. Since April 2, 2005, I started to get worse from week to week, getting worse from day to day. She could not write with her left hand, and if she tried, she wrote in an unintelligible way. To carry out my work in a hospital, I was spending more time than normal. I was exhausted." On May 13, 2005, Pope Benedict XVI announced the special dispensation to initiate the cause of beatification of John Paul II. From the next day, the sisters of all the French and African communities began to ask for my healing through the intercession of John Paul II, until the news of my cure reached them. On June 1st, I was struggling to stand and walk. On the 2nd, at 9 o'clock at night, I stopped by my office before going to my room. I wanted to pick up the pen and write. Something like someone inside me said to me, "Take the pen and write." It was 9:30, and to my great surprise, I saw that the handwriting was clearly legible. Without understanding anything, I went to bed. I woke up at 4:30, surprised that I had been able to sleep, and jumped out of bed. My body was no longer numb and rigid. Afterwards, I felt a strong impulse to go and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I went down to the oratory and prayed, experiencing deep peace and a sense of well-being, an experience too great, a mystery difficult to explain in words. On June 7th, as planned, I went to the neurologist, my doctor for 4 years. He was also surprised to see that all the symptoms of the disease had disappeared, despite having interrupted the treatment 5 days before. Today, I can say that a friend left our land, but he is now much closer to my heart. He made me grow in the desire for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and love for the Eucharist, which occupy a priority position in my daily life. What the Lord granted me through the intercession of John Paul II is a great mystery, but nothing is impossible for God. If you believe, said Jesus, you will see the glory of God. At the time of healing, the sister was 44 years old. Her case was investigated by the Vatican Medical Commission and accepted as inexplicable to science. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.